gleaming in the sunlight. Can you imagine if Dean, you know, misses a month and then McCollum's struggling? You might as well call 911 at that point.
Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here. He's Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. And the podcast is named after the big guy, the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford. Now, if you are behind on your podcast listening, just catch up. You can find them on the homepage at JoeBucksFan.com. Also at Podbean, Podcast Addict, Apple Podcasts, all kinds of forums to subscribe and listen and catch up. A lot of good stuff from the sage lately. And Ira, you know, before we really get rolling and I talk about Bill Curry Ford and, of course, our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, I got to mention this, Ira. You know, there's been a lot of hubbub around the last week or so about, oh, Jason Light went public saying he made a mistake when he let Jordan Whitehead go. I just got to point out, Ira, that anybody who listened to this podcast heard us talk all about that at the NFL Scouting Combine 3 months ago. Now, you didn't put Jason Light's name on it, but we said very clearly that the organization felt that was a mistake, you know, right away, and have acknowledged that to us. So it wasn't really news on our end, but it did kind of shake Bucks universe a little bit.
You're right, Steve. It was 3 months ago. Because the three of us were at Indy, and we had some guests stop by, and that was the dominant theme about the decision to let Whitehead hit free agency. Steve, I was asleep at the switch, Steve. I'll admit it, because when we heard that 3 months ago, and nobody had ever reported that they acknowledged that it was a mistake, Steve, we probably should have wrote a few things and a few podcasts, and I could have wrote something that don't be surprised if the Bucks re-sign Jordan Whitehead, if he's out there in the free agent market. That was a telltale clue. You know, they had regrets about Jordan Whitehead, and sure enough, Lee, about 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, Jordan Whitehead began a second stint as a Buccaneer. So I probably should have wrote about that. You know, keep your eye out. They might go hard after Jordan Whitehead. But we were the first ones to report it, Lee. Yes, we were.
Sage, Memorial Day has come and gone. But the Memorial Day sale continues at Bill Curry Ford. Now, there's always great offers and transparent pricing at Bill Curry Ford. But if you're hustling to get a deal done, you've got all kinds of Memorial Day savings, and you can find them all at BillCurryFord.com. Bill Curry Ford, that's the family name, Curry, C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. They've got 0% financing for 72 months on select models, including up to $20,000 off MSRP. The deals are flowing. The Ira Kaufman discount is always in effect. Just reach out to GM Sean Sullivan. You can find him at BillCurryFord.com. Ask him for the Ira Kaufman discount. But more important, ask him to guide you and to answer some of your questions about purchasing a vehicle. Maybe it's just service. You're debating an upcoming purchase. Reach out to Sean. He's a great guy. Everybody who listens to the Best in Class podcast knows that. He is our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, and you can find that at Apple Podcasts and at JoeBucksFan.com. Sean's Best in Class podcast. Bill Curry Ford, nationwide lifetime warranty on all new vehicles, and they're just great. Mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. Simple as that. And our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, Sage, this is their time. Storm season's kicking in. Obviously, they're working year-round. People get floods, mold, fires. But storm season, things happen, like they did last year. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Get there. Make them part of your plan. They are five-star all the way. Owner Josh Martin is a big Bucks fan, friend of ours, personal friend. Hangs out with the Sage in Publix, buying Ira gifts all the time. Unbelievable. Josh is offering also anybody who calls Florida's Elite Restoration, and you can call them 24-7 if you have a problem. There's no time clock on a disaster. Call them 24-7, get a free estimate, free evaluation. Mention when you call that you heard about them from Ira or JoeBucksFan.com. And if you need their service, you'll get $500 back. That's money for your deductible or just cash back. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Just check them out. Learn all about all they do. And then you're prepared with someone you can trust. It's a great, great way to go. Give you some peace of mind in these turbulent times, Ira, but not too turbulent for Bucks fans because things have actually been going pretty well, Sage. But Lee, I got to ask you this before I ask Ira. I'll give Ira a chance to think about it. Lee, do you think Jason Light's being a little too hard on himself, saying that not re-signing Jordan Whitehead was a mistake for 2022? You know, in that 2022 season, the Bucks defense jumped out early in the year and was fantastic, absolutely dominant in the first four or five games or so. And Light just didn't have the money. So I'm not sure, was Jordan Whitehead being here in 2022 going to win them a Super Bowl last year? I don't know. What do you think?
Even if you are playing good, whether it be offense or defense, how much better could you be with a better player? And I think the Bucks suffered without Whitehead. You can tell. I mean, well, they brought in Logan Ryan and tried him out at safety, and I was like, eh. I find it refreshing. I don't think he's beating himself up. I find it refreshing that a general manager would come out and say, you know, I should have somehow found the money. I could have done it. I found the money to keep everybody together after the Super Bowl. You can always find money somewhere. I could have found an extra $500,000. Whitehead wanted to stay here. He liked Rapone. Rapone wanted him. I should have found a way. I should have reworked someone's contract. So I think it's refreshing that he would come out and admit that. You know, I always say this. Ira knows this as well. Never, ever underestimate the egos in the NFL. And I just find it refreshing that a guy who could have his ego going crazy, but he copped a plea. I made a mistake. And I find that refreshing. There's so many guys in the NFL that they would never admit a mistake because their ego won't allow them to.
It is a little refreshing, Steve, and is it diabolical on Light's part that he deserves some sympathy and then he corrects an error? I don't think that's what he's thinking. I don't think it's that planned out. I think if they had a chance to keep Whitehead, they would have at the time. But Light slash Greenberg, you know, his right-hand guru, they both decided we got to cut corners somewhere, and Whitehead was the guy. I mean, safety's not a highly valued position. At least it wasn't until Winfield came along, and basically you could have said won a couple of games by himself. But generally speaking, Steve, safety, like running back, not highly valued. Somebody had to go, and it was Whitehead. And he hadn't, Steve, he hadn't proven to be a ball hawk at that point in his career. And let's not forget, Steve, let's not go crazy about the four picks last year. And I think there were a couple others that he had in his hands. But, Steve, three of them came in the first week, three of them. So the rest of the year, only had one now. They came against Josh Allen, and he picked them off three times, Steve, but won the rest of the way. I'm with Lee. I find it kind of refreshing, and I'm certainly glad he's back because, Steve, a guy like Bowles, who's that inventive on his side of the ball, you got two safeties like that, and if this kid from Georgia turns out to be a pretty good nickelback, I can't wait to see what the Bowles has at his disposal over there in terms of disguising coverages, blitzing from the nickel, from the safety. You know, nobody knows the safety position better than Todd Bowles. He's got a lot to work with there, but Lee's overall point over the past 6 months, you can't get around it. Where's the pressure coming from up front, the front seven? Where is it, especially on the edges? And right now, Steve, it's an open question. We don't know.
All right, well, we'll go with refreshing. We'll stick with that on this, you know, kind of like a nice cold drink on a summer day. We'll stick with that. Sage, before I ask you a question about Jamel Dean, because you brought up Todd Bowles and having all these options and defensive guru mastermind and all these tools and pieces and stuff, I was listening to A.Q. Shipley on a remote podcast the other day. Listened to the whole thing, and he talked about the 2021 Bucks a little bit. And man, I thought he was going to go there. His face said it. His face and his sort of his tone of voice, but he didn't come out and say it. His body language and everything about him said, man, Bowles calling that zero blitz against the Rams. Damn. You know, what was he doing? That's what the body language said. But he didn't actually verbalize it. Probably too smart for that. But do you think I bring that up now because do you think there's a chance, and maybe this is just ridiculous, you think there's a chance, guys, that you can have too many versatile pieces and then start to overthink everything versus just having guys who are good in their roles? And yeah, you want to have a complex defense, but you don't need 11 pieces who are versatile.
Well, it's an interesting thought. Of course, you can't have too many good players, but I will say this, Lee, and I don't know if I've said this on the podcast before, but somebody close to the Buck organization, he's not a player and he doesn't work in the building,
but he's close. And he was talking about the Buck defense about a year ago to me in private. And Lee, he was talking about pass defense in particular. He said it was too complex. He said it was too complicated. And that prompts miscommunication, guys being out of position. And he thought it should be streamlined a little bit. And this is somebody that really knows his stuff on that side of the ball. And that's the first I ever heard that, Lee. I'll say this. However you want to slice it, Lee, their pass defense hasn't been, it just hasn't been good enough. The completion percentage rate, I still remember Goff in the fourth quarter just shredding them. And the game was tied up for grabs with a chance to go to the NFC title game. They don't make enough stops, Lee, on pass defense. Part of it is the pass rush. I understand it. Part of it is the corners. I don't see Sauce Gardner out there. Do you? I don't. But maybe it's a little too complicated, Lee. Maybe Bowles is throwing a little too much at these guys.
Talking about, you know, Goff lighting up the Bucks in the fourth quarter, yeah. How much of that was Dean being out?
Let's not build this guy up too much.
Oh, no. I think the criticism was a little harsh. Now, someone wants to say, oh, he's not in the field enough. Okay, that's fair. But I hear everybody in there, oh, he didn't get an interception. Didn't get an interception. I'll just repeat the old football cliche. If he could catch, he'd be a receiver.
Steve, I'm a little concerned about the cornerback spots. And Jamel Dean's right in the middle of that. Steve, just speaking for myself, I got a lot more confidence in the safety tandem. I might even have more confidence in the nickel job because Izian isn't terrible, and we don't know what this rookie can do. McCollum, as Lee always says, raw, big, talented, raw.
Athletic as heck.
Athletic.
And he's going to be a good corner.
Yeah, until you do it, you haven't done it. Steve, remember a couple of years ago you asked me before the season who's going to jump out and be the most improved Buccaneer? I said Jamel Dean. It didn't happen. I could have said it last year. It didn't happen. Steve, at a certain point, he is what he is, right, Steve? He's okay. He's okay. And they decided to part company with Davis, and Dean's here, and he's got to show some leadership, Steve. He's the veteran at that position. Let's see if he can raise his game. I'm getting a little tired of waiting for it.
Ira, is Bowles going to catch any flack? You know, he keeps saying, oh, no, you know, Zion McCollum's a starter. We're good with Zion. You know, he'll be fine. What kind of flack is Bowles going to catch? Because you got to figure one reason that Carlton Davis was traded was Bowles said, we can do without him. Zion will take care of things.
Yeah.
What kind of flack is he going to catch if McCollum isn't up to it and they're getting lit up?
I think quite a bit, and I think it'll be deserved. And at that point, I think they'll go pick up the veteran corner. Steve, I'm not saying McCollum's going to fall on his ass. Like Lee says, heck of an athlete, great size for the position. He's been around a couple of years. He's picked up things. He should be more confident and comfortable. But I don't see the consistency yet that Bowles craves from the position. Steve, there's a lot riding on McCollum this year. I don't know what the fallback is if McCollum struggles. Can you imagine if Dean, you know, misses a month and then McCollum's struggling? You might as well call 911 at that point.
I think more is on the line for Bowles than McCollum or Dean himself. I say that because the pass defense, like you noted, Ira, was not good last year. I mean, they, for a chunk of the season, they were last in the league. And then they played Carolina a couple times, and they finished 29th in yards allowed. And they were 25th in yards per attempt. They just weren't good on pass defense, and that was with Carlton Davis. We trust Bowles back there, but it wasn't very good. Yes, the pass rush is a factor, but I understand why, hey, if we have a terrible pass defense and two $10 million cornerbacks, well, maybe we should get rid of one and start to retool a little bit. And I think that's where they are. You hope they made the right decision, but if it's status quo, at least they save some money by, you know, and they're developing players in theory. If it doesn't get any better, you know, you did win 10 games with this crappy pass defense last year. I mean, if they can somehow, I mean, we hope it's better, but if it's not better, at least they're going with younger players and trying to move forward in a better direction, if that makes sense.
If Dean stalls at his current level and doesn't take not even a leap up, but, you know, show marked improvement,
I think you're probably going to have to look at him in the offseason. He's been around a long time, Lee. This ain't no second-year player. I think he should be better than he is, Lee. I don't know. Something's holding him back. Niggling injuries. I understand that. He has some good weeks. But, Lee, sometimes you say, what the hell was he doing on that play? And for my money, that happens too often for you and I up in the press box. What was Dean doing out there? You got to be careful. Sometimes the last guy close to the receiver that's crossing the goal line, that wasn't his guy, Lee, sometimes.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you got to be careful about that. But I just think Dean should be better than he is, Lee. I don't know what's holding him back.
Some guys, they peak early, and maybe that was him. Maybe he peaked, the first couple of years of this decade. That could be a possibility. Back to your original question, Ivor, about is the defense too complex? Well, I'm a big believer that coaches are teachers. If a coach or the players come to the coach like, hey, we're not getting this, or if they keep asking questions, especially veterans like Jamel Dean, if this is too complex, I don't know that to be the case. You're being told it is by someone you respect. I can honor that. But let's say it is. Let's say Dean is coming up to him or Winfield. Now you've got questions, several questions. Shouldn't Bowles, being a teacher, and he, again, a coach is a teacher, good coaches are teachers, let's say that, shouldn't he recognize that, okay, these guys aren't getting it, and maybe pare back or go back to square one and reteach your defense so that they get it? Shouldn't the onus be on the coach to recognize, hey, man, their plates are too full. We got to take some food off their plates so they get this down. So they're not thinking, they're reacting.
I have confidence, Lee, that Bowles self-scouts himself hard during the offseason from the defensive point of view. And I think he will make some changes, especially going with McCollum, possibly going with a rookie slot guy. I think that would force Bowles to reassess. You're putting too much on these guys' plates. Let's simplify, Steve. But whatever he's doing right now, he's got to change a little bit because from what I see, the rush defense bounced back strong last year, Lee. Pretty good against the run. But they got to tighten up against the pass. I'm tired of Goff completing 30 balls every time he sees the Bucs.
Absolutely. He's got to figure it out. I don't know what it is. It is fascinating, though, that you brought that up. One of your elite sources, the Sage, just pulls out of the sky this information. And I could probably take 7 guesses on who it might be, which means I don't know.
By the way, we mentioned Carlton Davis a couple of times on this podcast. Has he been flapping his gums a little bit in Motown, Stevie? What's he been saying?
Nothing really out of the ordinary. I mean, you could try to read between the lines. It's kind of gray, and plus he's so laid back. He's just kind of pumping up his own team. I've heard him do about 4 or 5 interviews. Nothing really. I mean, he's got no beef with the Bucks, and you would think, at least for now, he's happy to be going to a great team until he gets roasted and the fans get on him there maybe a little bit differently since they don't have much invested in him. But I don't know. Nothing crazy. Nothing crazy, Ira.
He did say, Ira, this is the most excited he's been since he won a Super Bowl with the Bucks. I'm like, couldn't get excited about 2021?
Yeah.
You know, he brought everybody back, and you're making another playoff run. Couldn't get excited about that. Couldn't get excited about your defensive coordinator getting a gig in 2022. I'm not saying it rubbed me the wrong way, but I thought that was really odd.
I'm not buying that, especially like you said, Lee. 2021, you're the defending champions. You go out there every week. Everybody's giving you their best shot. You're going for the repeat. I can't imagine he's more excited than he was as a defending champion. I'll tell you this, though, Lee. You know I'm high on the Lions. I like the coach. I like the way they draft. I like the general manager, Holmes. They've added a lot of talent. I think their strength is on offense, Lee. They've got good weapons. They've got good running backs, 2 of them. Goff's pretty good. Their O-line's good, Lee. It's a good offense. If Davis,
excellent tight end.
Yeah, excellent. That's right. Excellent tight end. If Davis can make a little bit of a difference on the other side of the ball, I don't know if he can. I don't know if he can stay healthy. They got a chance, Lee. They got a chance. I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked to see him in a Super Bowl. I don't think that's crazy. I don't think that's crazy.
How times have changed the last 24 months, huh?
Absolutely.
Hey, Ira, this is something that's bugged me, and And Lee and I have talked about this for years on different levels. We've brought it to the podcast. But, you know, Jamel Dean dropped the other day that it was an offhanded remark that he dropped 5 interceptions last year. And he had none overall, as we've talked about. He's on a 29-game streak of no interceptions. So, of course, Todd Bowles, obsessed with turnovers, wants more turnovers, catch the ball, our defensive backs. We've been hearing it for years. But what I don't understand is, Ira, they don't seem to be teaching anything differently or doing anything differently to maybe snap these guys out of it. Like, you know, Lee and I have talked in the past about bringing in consultants, extra set of eyes when you keep failing 10 games in a row at the same thing. Maybe bring somebody in to look over the offense, that kind of thing. And maybe they could bring in some experts on the defensive side on catching the ball, invite Rondé Barber out there for a day and other guys. Bowles must know tons of them. And, you know, the stupid jugs machine, you know, Team Glazers, this may sound ridiculous, Ira, but Team Glazers got billions of dollars. You know, the jugs machine just is like an invention that was 40-something years old and just fires balls at you and you catch it. Maybe they could spend some money to invent something innovative that actually, like, you know, throws the ball and simulates a quarterback from 30 yards away and have their defensive backs catch these balls that are more realistic, or just pay some slappy to throw balls instead of using a machine. I don't know, but I'm sick of it. If they really care about it, go over the top and try to fix this thing.
How about this? Hire Chris Carter to come in.
Ooh, look at that. Chris Carter, some of the greatest hands this league's ever seen.
Like, yeah, you know, he had to work on his hands. You know that. He just wasn't born with them. He had to work on them. And yeah. I've seen him, you know, in speaking engagements where he's talked about how you should catch a ball. Bring him in and have him work with him for a day or two.
And by the way, Lee, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer here, which I've been accused of being on once in a while on a podcast.
Yeah.
But, Lee, I think I take exception. In fact, I do take exception. Lee, to Jamel Dean's assertion that he was close enough to pick off 5 balls last year. I'm not sure about that, Lee. My big complaint, Lee, and you've heard it many times. Too many times, Lee, too many times. The guy's catching the ball 11 yards downfield and there's no buck in the same zip code.
Yeah, the blown coverage, yeah.
Steve, I don't necessarily think it's missed opportunities. I don't think they can test enough balls.
You know who would know about the quote-unquote missed interceptions? Our good friend at Bill Curry Ford, Sean Sullivan. He knows every one of Jamel Dean's drop passes. Drives him bananas. He was talking about it just yesterday morning when I talked to him. It just drives him wild. He could tell you what time and what quarter of what game he had a dropped interception. That drives Sean crazy.
You know, Steve, when Winfield gets his hands on a ball, he usually comes down with it. Maybe Whitehead will be that way this fall. I think he did miss legitimately 2 more interceptions, could add 6.
Well, my point, Sage, my broader point is that you got to try to ramp up what you're doing. Now, Kevin Ross, the cornerback's coach, he had like 40 career interceptions. He was a Pro Bowler. Whatever, he knows how to catch the ball, whatever is going on. I'm not saying he can't coach, but they're not getting it. Try to get somebody else in here. I mean, there's so many guys. Lee just mentioned one there. There's so many guys you could try. Tom Brady hired Tom House to be his throwing coach long after he won a bunch of Super Bowls. I mean, I was watching Phil Simms the other day on a show, and he was talking about how he changed his grip like 7 years in. And it's not like he had trouble throwing the football. He changed his grip a little bit, and then he changed it back again after studying it some more. I mean, it's just not enough to do the same old thing if it's not working. The Glazers have the money. Get somebody in here, a rotating catching coach or something. I don't know.
Could one reason why Bowles doesn't, let's say hypothetically, Chris Carter, he doesn't bring a Chris Carter in to work with Jamel Dean. He doesn't want to tick off his assistants. You know, Kevin Ross would like, hey, what the hell's going on here? What do I look like, chopped liver? You know, maybe Bowles doesn't want to start a brouhaha.
It's possible. If Chris Carter came in, I wouldn't mind him working with Trey Palmer and McMillan also, Lee. But bottom line, Lee had 13 picks last year. 13, not very good, Lee. Not a very good total. Winfield had 3. Davis had 2. Izian had 2. And Devin White had 2. Other than that, McCollum, 0. You know, Jamel Dean, 0. So,
They got to get better, Lee. And like Steve said, he's tired of hearing it. This is going on year after year. Bowles craves those turnovers, and they're not particularly good at it right now.
Hey, you
know, he craves them that much. He needs to talk to Light and the Bucks pro player personnel director and just flatly say, any guy you bring in for a tryout, if he can't catch, I don't give a damn. He covers a guy like flypaper, which that's horribly on the opposite side of who I am. I'm like, defend the freaking pass. I don't care about picks. Don't care. Just don't care. Play good defense, you won't need a pick. And score points. You know, Bill Walsh said, do what you're supposed to do, and at the end of the game, the score will take care of itself. How novel is that? That was his way of saying what Belichick said 30 years later, just do your job.
Do your job. Now,
that's the way I look at it. But if Bowles has really got this sort of a boner about interceptions, he's not quite at Lovey's level. Close. Not quite at Lovey's level. But if he's that bad, just sit down with Light and look, man, any guy you think you're going to draft, I'd rather you draft a friggin' wide receiver than some of the cover. Player personnel director, don't you dare bring in an SOB that can't catch the ball. Real simple. If picks are that damn important, he has in his power to make sure guys come in and can get picks. Whether they can cover or not, I don't know. But they'll be able to get picks. That's what you do if it's that damn important.
And Steve, the year before they had 10, Steve, in 17 games. 10? I mean, come on. So it's not working, Steve. And I, you know, again, I go back to the scheme a little bit. Steve, it's not the whole problem, but I think it's part of it. I don't think it's an aggressive pass defense. Lee, we've talked about it schematically. I think there's too much of a cushion a lot of times. Now, Lee, you see other teams, they challenge the receiver and the quarterback a little more than the Bucs. I'm not sure that Bowles has the confidence in his corners, Lee, at this point to do that.
Well, you know, before we start just killing the Bucs, oh my God, they can't get picks. This is horrible. How about those Bears? They got 22 picks. Oh boy, the Bears. Well, what did they do last year? You know, but they got picks. And how about those slimy Saints? They got 18 picks. How about that? And let's not overlook the Giants. The mighty Giants got 18 picks. Well, wasn't that something? And then there's the Jets. Holy cow, the Jets got 17 picks. What'd they do last year? It's called winning and playing good football. At the end of the day, this all this hullabaloo, this wringing of hands, this belly aching, this squawking about friggin' turnovers, just play the blankety-blank game. I'm sick of hearing about this, man. It ain't about turnovers. It's about points and keeping points away from the other team.
And Steve, to add to what Lee's saying, you know, we're having this discussion about a paucity of picks, Steve. A paucity of picks. But Steve, overall, the Bucks had a nice turnover ratio. That wasn't costing them games. They were in the positive column. I believe they were top 10 in the league, turnover differential. That's one of the reasons is Mayfield, I believe, only threw 10 picks. That's a low number. And they didn't lose a lot of fumbles. So, Steve, big picture, turnovers, the Bucks are on the good side of that last year.
Sage, from my standpoint, hey, if you want to get better, if you say it's important to you, then go all in to do it. It's just like running the football. We're going to talk about your column, Ira. I'll bring that up. If you're going to run 400 times a year, be better at it. Make it a priority to be better at it. You know, because even the teams that don't run much, they're running 20-plus times a game, all of them. So
that's right.
So, Sage, now you went all in your column on Rashad White. Really kind of surprised me there. You're convinced that he's turned a corner and is ready to keep turning the corner. And, Sage, I'll note that Cody Mauch said this week that he's added 12 to 15 pounds, which means he's probably up around 320 based on where he was last year after the combine and adding a few pounds last year. Tristan Wirfs is on record saying he's at 360 pounds, and he feels great at that weight. We know Gedeki's up around 330 and change. Barton is a big man who's going to add some man weight. And they got a little bigger with whoever ends up playing left guard. This is probably the biggest offensive line the Bucks have ever had, is how it's going to shake out. And you think they're going to finally run for 4+ yards of carry again and look like they can actually run the ball?
I got 3 points I want to make about this running game, Lee, and I'm going to go out and say it right now. I think it's going to be markedly better. I'll give you 3 reasons. Bowles wanted to get bigger up front. He didn't think they were stout enough at the point of attack. Lee, I think he's right. They did get bigger. Barton, I think, is going to be an improvement. That's number one. Two, doing the research on White, and it really is the thing that really propelled me saying that I think he might have turned the corner, even as a running back, Lee. And we don't have to talk about him as a receiver. He's stellar. He's stellar. Lee, the last half of the season, he averaged 4.2 yards a carry. And that includes two playoff games when he played well. That's an extended period. It's not a game or two. It's half a season. Lee, Buck fans would die for 4.2. So would you and I. 4.2, and he was at 3.3. I mean, that's bad. And three, Lee, tell me what you think about this one. Maybe the most important one of all. Say what you will about Canales. There's a lot of revisionist history. You know, people were very happy with Canales. A lot of people last year, now that he's gone, human nature, Lee, they all like to poke holes in Canales. He stunk at this. He couldn't do this. He's unimaginative. Well, Lee, the one fair criticism is, schematically, he was unimaginative in the running game. Lee, he was.
That's what I've heard.
And I don't think Cone's going to be like that.
No.
You and I are saying, why can't you run White outside five times a game?
You're more rainbows and sunshine about Rashad White, and I'm just about done with him. I'm really just about done with him. I like the guy. Excellent pass catcher. Excellent receiver out of the backfield. But he's got a lot of improvement before I could consider him a legitimate starting running back in the league. And his advanced stats are just horrendous. There's no way to sugarcoat it. Success rate, yards after contact per attempt, they're terrible. And so he's very much in proven mode for me. I'm not going to give him any benefit of the doubt because he hasn't given me a reason to be a benefit of the doubt. In my eyes, he's only had one good game running the ball. And that was in Munich. Man, I wish he was like that more often. He was incredible that game.
Lee, all I'm saying, and I understand your points, he got better as the season went on.
He got better, but what are we talking about? I mean, it's like...
Well, I just told you.
Better at what? To me, better is you're above average. You're like one of the top 10 running backs in the league. If you only get fed the ball that much, you better be a damn good running back. He wasn't. In my eyes, he was not. I'm sorry.
Well, I think they overused him, Steve. The snaps were, in the stratosphere. I mean, he had three less touches than McCaffrey, Steve, for the league lead. Three less. He was almost the most utilized back in football. I'm with Lee on that one. He don't deserve that distinction. but Steve, he did him. You know, he was over 4 yards of carry in the second half of the season. That's all I'm saying. He did do that.
I expected to be better. He ought to be better. Well, they're almost out of time with him waiting for him to be better. So, by the way, Ira, were you captivated with the recent video that he did with Dazen where he went clothes shopping? Were you captivated?
I'm not interested in his videos unless he's dodging a commander in week one. I'm not interested in his videos.
Yeah, Sage, look, there's no question that he was better late in the season. So you try to hang your hat on that. As Lee's kind of saying, it's a low bar. But in Indianapolis, that was the best game of his career. In my opinion, statistically, it was as well. Got his 100 yards. Finally did that last season. And then he was good after that. Wasn't great, but he was good. In Atlanta, they put everything on his back. And he performed. Had over 100 yards then. And had the big carries with the season on the line, as we've talked about. But, nothing crazy special. But good. So, yeah, you can... be hopeful there, but I don't know. I lean more toward Lee. I got to see more of a guy with a lot of juice. As Lee said, if you're going to get all those carries, you got to have some more to you. And I think that's a big reason why they drafted a running back. Bucks fans may not want to hear that, but fourth round in this day and age is a solid investment in a running back. And this was a good year to be drafting running backs. And I think they expect a lot out of Irving.
Hey, Ira, maybe the Bucks can do this to help him out. You know, like I said, he did so well in Munich. So well in Munich. Could maybe the Glazers spring to set up a small auxiliary locker room where basically it's a soccer locker room with a moat bridge in the middle of it like they had in Munich, and the wallpaper could be the Glockenspiel and Augustine Keller, and maybe they could have some, cheerleaders in their drindles. Maybe, he'll get the feeling of Munich again and maybe repeat that a few times.
How about turning the tunnel into a beer garden, Lee? What do you think? You guys are making one very good point, is if he's going to average 3.7 yards a carry and he's going to get a lot of carries, and his third offensive coordinator in 3 years, and the offensive line's been beefed up, and he's still not an effective running back unless he's catching the ball, then Steve, you gotta make him a third down pass catching back at that point. I'm willing to give him one more year with Cohn, Graham Barton, a beefier offensive line, and the knowledge that he did show some improvement down the stretch. I want to see some variety in the way they use him, Steve, in space. Steve, in space, the guy's really good.
I think you'll see that, Ira. I really do.
And so let's see what happens. A couple more screens. Lee, you know about me and screens. Lee, you know me.
Anytime he gets the ball from a pass, I'm happy. As down as I am on Rashad White as a running back, I'm that much up as him catching a ball out of the backfield. I believe he's in McCaffrey's league. I really think he's that good. I really believe that. And the guy's incredible making people miss down the field when he catches a pass. It's incredible. And,
you're right.
I think I'm fair. I'm very down on him as a running back. I'm very up on him as a receiver out of the backfield.
To me, this is his last chance toting the ball as a running back, Steve. Otherwise, I think he'd be fated to be a situational player.
Well, the fun part is that we get to see, and he did well enough to get another shot, and the Bucs don't have anybody else who's proven, so he's going to get that shot. And, you know, the NFL yards per rush, Sage is, you know, around 4.3 yards for running backs, 4.2 yards a carry, so we're not looking for anything heroic here. We just want him to be a solid running back. A lot of factors involved. He's not one to lose a lot of yardage, but part of that is, like Lee mentioned, how Canales was using him in a more conservative way, you know, banging. And, you know, White's not one to get a lot of negative twos, zeros, and things like that. You know, we're going to see Sage is all in. Sage is all in on Rashad White. I have it in print, Ira. We'll call your attention to it as time goes by here. All right, Ira, look. BillCurryFord.com, shop there, BillCurryFord.com. And please remember our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. They're there to save you in your time of need with your greatest asset, your home, FloridasElitereStoration.com. I was thinking, Ira, before we walk out here, you think Sean Sullivan, you think I should call him up and ask him and say, look, does Bill Curry Ford want to donate $5,000 to a charity for every Jamel Dean interception this season? You know, it could be...
Steve, I want to make one more point about Bill Curry Ford. Generally speaking, all things being equal, I will lean towards the family-run business, Lee.
Oh, yeah, because their name's on it.
Yeah, the name's on it. The service is better. More of a connection with the customers. Steve, all these other dealerships, all of them, almost to a man, corporate. We know what that means, faceless people. You know, you go in circles. If you got a problem, you can't get anybody to call you back. Steve, family run. We have to support those businesses because they mean something, and they're distinct. And they separate themselves from the corporate world, and Bill Curry Ford is family run down to its bones.
There you go, Sage. Very well said. And, of course, so is Florida's Elite Restoration, family run, Josh Martin. And Joe Bucks fan, too. We're one big happy family here, Ira. No corporate bullshit here. Otherwise, you would have been fired a long time ago. We wish you well with your...
Wait a minute, Steve. Wait a minute. I have a quick announcement to make here. Lee, I went back to the orthopedist's office. It's 2 weeks and 2 days since the left hip replacement. Lee, I'm full of titanium and plastic. I might set off the buzzer at Tampa Airport next time. They might have to wand me, but that's okay, Lee. Anyway, the guy took off the big patch that was on where the sutures were, and he says everything's looking great. Everything's looking great. Told him I hadn't even been taking the big pain pills. He was impressed with that. He says, another month for swimming. Lee, I got my pool all set. It's gleaming. It's gleaming in the sunlight. And I can't get in, Lee. Can't get in. I can't get in my bath with my rubber ducks. That's a whole nother story. But, Lee, I'm doing well on the recovery. Let's see what happens. And, Steve, we're going to meet in person for the next podcast. It's right around the corner.
We'll be rolling on. So, Sage, take care of yourself. Keep doing those squats and those leg lifts and all the good things you're doing there. And we'll talk to you soon.
You got it.